Blog Talk Radio.
That's right, everybody. You know who it is. Coach Mike Jones on the coach with the most. Coming at you hard from coast to coast. I don't want to boast, but now I gotta roast you in my social media posts. You double dose, undiagnosed. You feeling tired, life inspired, now you're a ghost. I'll be your host, so won't you raise a toast to the coach with the most, Coach Mike Jones.
Welcome to another edition of the Coach Mike Jones Show podcast, episode 81. I'm here with my co-host for today, the guy who's so fly is going to take you to the sky, Mr. Sign Guy. How you doing?
Doing all right this morning, Coach.
Thank you for coming on. Can you please introduce our guest and ask him the first-timer question, please?
Our guest is SCW Hall of Fame member. He is the King, Dale Houston. Houston, coach likes to know for his first-time guest, how did you get into this crazy business of professional wrestling?
Well, Sign Guy, I really appreciate it. Hell, I thought you'd already be dead and buried by now.
But a lot of people
I'm glad you're still kicking. I got in the business because a friend of mine that I knew after I got out of the military, he was one, which was the great J.W. Hawk. And he got me in it. Nice. Okay. Do you have some more details? Who did you start training with? I started training down in Portland with Scott Ferris, Richie Magnet, Diesel, Buddy Wayne, Lanny Poffo, and the Road Warriors back in the day, Todd and his brother, but I think they're both gone now.
Yeah, but okay, nice.
That's been a long time ago.
Yes, okay.
Hey,
and Buddy Wayne.
Yes, the great Buddy Wayne. We miss him, and nice to see Nick's out there kicking ass.
Yep.
Okay, in your lifetime, growing up, who are your heroes? And that includes ordinary life, sports, music, and wrestling.
Man, back in the day, my hero was Lonnie Mane. And, I mean, my sports figures, third baseman in baseball. And my favorite person of all time for running backs for football was Franco Harris. My quarterback was Joe Montana.
Right on, okay. It was nice that we got to see Franco here in Seattle, but it didn't quite translate into any success because he was over the hill by then.
Yeah, he was. He was over the hill by then. Seattle was just looking for something to help them out in the meantime.
Yes, definitely. Okay, and then did you play sports in high school or growing up?
I played football in junior high and high school till my knee gave out. So I had to quit playing in my junior year.
Okay, and then what's your self-defense background besides wrestling?
Well, I mean, I've been through several different academies for all kinds of stuff. You know, police department, fire department. You know, I'm pretty well versed in how to take care of myself.
Yes, I can attest to that with our many battles. Yes,
been there, done
like,
that.
Like it shows on the ad picture, I'm helping carry a bloody King Dale Houston out of the ring there at SCW. My goodness, we were on both sides of the aisle.
Yeah, we were. I've had a few great matches there.
Yes, definitely. Okay, and then in your lifetime, what have been some of the most memorable matches that you've seen? That includes VHS tape, internet, or live.
And I mean, there's been so many. I mean, and one that always sticks in my memory is Buddy Wayne and I trained together. And our first match was on Vashon Island. And it was a 15-minute Broadway that we ended with a double drop kick. And I still think about that today.
Nice. Of course, we were going to ask you what some of your most memorable matches were also, yes.
I'll tell you what. I had a lot of fun with Diamond Timothy Flowers. And, I mean, I'm talking back guys in the Canada days, you know, and, I mean, Dirty Danny Denton. I mean, there was a lot of people that I got the opportunity to work with that you have to trust someone in the business. But Diamond Timothy Flowers gave me a pile driver off the top rope over in Colville, Washington. It was, I mean, he always took care of who he was working with. And it was awesome. I mean, totally awesome. I mean, the list can go on and on. I mean, I've had a lot of good times with Jonathan Sayers, with Buddy, Rick Davis, the Frog. And I'm just going like, you know, I mean, I've been there for the AWA with Sergeant Slaughter and Colonel DeBeers. We did that 7-day tour, and it's like, it's hard to forget those memories.
Definitely, yes. And then who are some of your favorite people to work with?
Well, Buddy Wayne was one. Moondog Moretti, he was another one. Awesome guy. And, I mean, you know, I mean, I think out of all, I would have to say bar none, the Taskmaster, Kevin Sullivan. I've worked with him and wrestled against him. A lot of younger guys, they haven't had the opportunity to do that.
Yes, what a blessing. We had the real school army going against Pure Dominance over there at SCW.
Oh, yeah,
and
I know.
Bremerton, all over there, yes.
I know. Yeah, and I mean, I've got to wrestle you too. And I mean, and
yes.
It's been a lot of fun. And
yes,
it's been great matches. I mean, Coach, you're one of the ones that's been around quite a while, like I have. But you know what? It's fun to get to work with guys like you because you know old school. All these new kids, they don't know old school. I mean, heck, they don't even know what an arm bar is.
I know, huh? Goodness.
Yeah. They don't even know what a step-over toe hold is.
Exactly.
So.
And then, so what other characters have you worked in wrestling besides your Dale Houston?
Oh, my gosh. So, I mean, the Kentucky Plowboys. Okay. Then I've been Dirty Dale Houston. I've been Professor Lewis. I've been the Hangman. I've been Skeletor. Man, it's just, I would probably say 5 or 6 at least.
And what was your favorite characters that you've done?
Well, I you know, it's fun to be a good guy, and it's fun to be a bad guy. But I think the one I liked the best was Dale Houston, the Kentucky Plowboy, with my tag team partner, Marty.
Awesome. Okay. Hey, and then you've been retired for a few years now. What do you got going on now?
Well, I mean, I don't do a whole bunch. I mean, I talk to a few people. I don't, you know, I pretty much stick around close to home. So, you know, the younger kids in my family, they don't like messing with Grandpa. So Grandpa hurt you. So, yeah, I just kind of stick around home. I mean, I don't do a whole bunch. I don't watch a lot of wrestling on TV anymore. I mean, it was fun to see The Rock come back and talk crap to Seth Rollins and Cody Rhodes, but, you know.
Definitely,
so,
yes.
I mean, yeah, it's just kind of crazy.
Okay, and then who are some up-and-comers that people should take a look at?
I mean, I don't really watch a lot, but if Nick Wayne could put on about 30 pounds, he'd be good. I mean, I like Darby Allin, you know. I mean, he started out with videos skateboarding and doing all kinds of weird stuff. But he's good. He's got a mind for the business. I mean, today it's hard to find a young talent that can actually portray the trade to the people that they can understand it.
For sure, yes.
Go ahead.
Sorry.
Excuse me. What were we going to say? No, it's all good. I'll pass on that comment.
Oh, that's fine. I was just going to say I'm going to hand you over to Sign Guy for a minute, and then I got some more after that.
Okay.
Well, Dale Houston,
hey,
we know exactly what's coming next. Can you tell us what happened with Arnold the Pig?
Yeah, well, you know what, Sign Guy? You've asked me that for years. And I still won't tell you to this day, but maybe somebody had some good bacon.
Oh, no.
I mean, Jonathan Sayers won't even tell you what happened to Arnold the Pig. Neither would Bundy. I mean, neither would Flowers, Joe Cagle, none of them. They're not going to tell you where the pig went. They stole him on TV. And we never got him back.
I may have shed a few tears when I saw that on video.
Yeah, I know. And that was back in the days when you had a good gimmick and it worked and the people liked it. I mean, I still have a video, and it's at my house. I'm not at my house right now, but I have a video of doing an interview on TV, and Jonathan Sayers was there, and we were doing an interview, and it was like Sayers was really playing it up, saying he was a vicious animal and everything else, and I squeezed Arnold over towards Sayers, and John, oh, look at that vicious animal. He's going to bite me. And they had to cut away because Arnold crapped on the floor. But
maybe that's what he thought of Sayers.
What's that?
Maybe that's what he thought of Sayers.
Yeah, probably. I love Jonathan Sayers. That guy could put anybody over, whether he liked you or not. He always did his job every time he showed up for TV. Man, it's like they don't make him like that anymore.
people not familiar with Al Tomko's territory, which is where he had the run with Arnold, they kept a small crew and would rotate that crew. A guy might referee for a few months, and he would manage for a while, then he would wrestle and then rotate back. Some guys would wrestle two or three times a night under different masks and so forth in order to keep the cost down. What was it like wrestling for a full-time territory that had a small crew that really relied on everybody to pitch in and do everything?
Well, I can remember we went on a trip along the Fraser River up to Canada, and there were six of us. And we all had to play different gimmicks wherever, from what town to town that we went to. Either you were, you know, a heel, baby, I mean, back and forth. And it just kind of like, it weighed on you a little bit, because if you got hurt, it's kind of like, I just say TFB. So you still had to go out and work. You may wrestle one night, the next night you're reffing. You know, you always had a couple of matches, tag team and a battle royal. And that's how you got by with it back in those days.
Now, up there in the British Columbia area, a lot of really well-known stars got their starts. People like Road Warrior Hawk, the Honky Tonk Man, Ravishing Rick Rude, all got started up there very early in their careers. Did you come across very many guys that ended up becoming national names that started up?
I mean, I saw Jim Duggan. You know, he was there before he made it big. Big John Kenta, you know, the Canadian Earthquake when he went to the WWF. Man, I wrestled him in so many handicap matches, it's crazy. And really good guy. I mean, and it's really sad that he's no longer with us. But, I mean, there was a lot of guys. And Al had talent come in. I mean, Gator B. Long from down in Florida. But, I mean, Al had a lot of good talent, so he would never always bring in a lot of big guys because he didn't want to pay for them to be on TV for the house show and then be there Saturday. All them guys, I mean, I know they all came through there. I have a flyer of the Honky Tonk Man when he was up at Al Tomko's promotion when he weighed about 145 pounds.
You bring up John Kenta. He very recently was the subject of Vice TV's Dark Side of the Ring. I have not personally seen the episode yet, but I know it aired in this last week. Did you get a chance to catch what they showed about John Kenta on TV?
Nope, I didn't. I mean, I just kind of like, I want to remember John for how he was when I wrestled with him and against him.
Fair enough.
Yeah, I just can't. I can't say anything bad about the guy.
Like I mean, you said earlier, you wrestled a little bit for the AWA, and this was when they were still a national company. They were on ESPN. They had several states that had live appearances.
Yep.
What was it like for you going to a national company from a territory?
Well, you know, it was kind of like Al called me one day and said, look, we need five guys to go on the road with Sergeant Slaughter and Colonel DeBeers. And so you're going to start out in Missoula, Montana. Those two guys, I mean, of course, you all know them, DeBeers and Slaughter. I mean, who doesn't know them? So, I mean, it was just kind of like a lot of the times I got to work the first match and then go out in the battle royal. You know, you'd have two, three matches, tag team, then you had battle royal and go home. But it was kind of the night we're in Montana. Slaughter comes up to me and says, "Hey, kid, are you okay?" And I'm going, "Yeah, what do you mean?" He said, "What? One hell of a bump you took over the top rope." And I says, "No, I'm good. I do it all the time." And I'll never forget that.
Now, some fans may not remember this, but Sergeant Slaughter started out his career in Portland as Beautiful Bobby Remus, doing
yes,
sort of a hippie gimmick. Did you get to work with Slaughter before he was Slaughter?
No, I didn't. Nope. I mean, all the guys, you know, from Portland, Portland was kind of picky. I mean, I knew Piper, I knew all of them, Shawn Michaels and all the rest of them guys, you know, him and Marty Giannetti. I mean, that's where they all got their start. You know, and that's what gave them the push that they needed. I mean, I remember the days when I was a kid and watching Portland wrestling and see Jimmy Snuka fly off the top rope and splice somebody.
Those
I mean,
were the days indeed.
Yeah, I mean, I'm old, but you know what? That's the only thing I don't like about the business today. It's too scripted. Can't like, no. There's no... They don't let the workers create their own story. That's just my opinion.
Now, one person that I confirmed earlier today that you did wrestle for is Diafulla the Butcher Dabashi. What do you remember working for Dabashi?
Yes, I do. Definitely. And his buddy, Kenny Roberts. In 95, I beat Kenny for the California State Championship over at the Armory in Tacoma. Dave has been a good friend for years.
Now, right around the corner from the Tacoma Armory sits Dabashi's Market, and Dabashi has several pictures of notable wrestlers up on the wall, and he sells some coffee that is wrestling-themed.
Yep.
Have you had a chance to visit Dabashi's Market to take a look around at the memorabilia?
No, I haven't. I have not. So,
I mean, I know you love coffee, and he serves a really good coffee there, so you may want to check that out.
Well, I might. I mean, it's kind of like, I mean, I'm good friends with Chef Mean Mark Ferguson, and I mean, when we did the Plowboys gimmick up in Canada with Arnold, okay, I still have both belts from Marty and me, the actual ones that were actually seen on TV.
I know you don't watch a lot of today's television product, but one of the big things that came in the last few weeks was WWE signed a multi-billion dollar deal with Netflix, as well as signing a deal with USA Network for hundreds of millions of dollars.
Yeah.
There's probably never been a more profitable time in wrestling as far as what the national companies are doing. When you started out in the wrestling business, did you ever think you'd see a time when billions and billions of dollars were coming in for several different deals?
Not really. I mean, back in our days, we didn't get paid beans. I mean, that was our gimmick. You know, I'm going to send you back to 7-Eleven so you can eat beans and weenies before you come messing with me. We didn't get paid hardly anything, and nobody thought that it would ever take off this big until Vince McMahon took over from his father. And then it went bananas.
Now, obviously, you wrestled Buddy Wayne quite a bit. You were around when Nick Wayne very first started refereeing for his dad when he was around 9 or 10 years old.
Yep.
When you very first saw a young Nick Wayne go to the ring, did you ever think that he was going to be a national star by the time he turned 18 years old?
No, not really. I mean, his dad still had a lot to teach him. And everybody seems to forget, okay, Buddy Wayne and I came in the business together, and Buddy Wayne was my road partner for 2 years. So I knew Buddy inside and out. All the trips to Canada, I'd catch the ferry, stop, pick up Buddy, and we were gone. Gone to Canada. And I never realized till later in the years, I didn't know he was going to marry Ed Moretti's daughter. So I'm kind of like, and I really never knew that he had a younger son until I started seeing it when they came to SCW, and I was sick and I didn't get a go. I never got to meet his son in person, but I like what he does, just needs more weight on it, and I miss my friend Buddy Wayne.
One of the other people that helped Nick Wayne a lot is someone else that used to partner up with Buddy. That is Hustler Rip Rogers. Rip Rogers, to this day, has very fond memories of Portland and Al Tomko's territory as well from when he was much younger. Did you ever get the chance to meet Hustler Rip Rogers?
It's been years ago. And, I mean, back then we all called him Rip the Crip, so because he'd cripple you. That was his thing, Rip the Crippler Oliver. You know, but it's been years since I got to see him. It's been years since I got to see Piper. I went years back and down to Portland Wrestling when Piper was helping him do all the stuff. We sat back there and we shot the shit for like a half hour back in the dressing room when Portland was doing their shows again. I mean, by then, like I say, you know, Rip the Crip, I mean, guy, the guy could work. Playboy Buddy Rose wrestled with him many times. It's like the guy was a jewel. You're talking guys that are like, they knew how the wrestling business worked. And not to forget Coach Mike.
Thank you, brother.
So, I mean, really. I mean, I've wrestled Mike a lot of times. It's been a lot of fun. But he's old school. And people nowadays don't do that anymore.
Like I said earlier, the Tomko territory had guys rotate through all the roles pretty often. And one of the important roles, no matter what era of wrestling you're in, is the role of the ring announcer. They're usually the face of the company. Most fans, rightly or wrongly, associate the ring announcer with being the authority figure for the company.
Yep.
It's the person that tells the people how to spend their money for the promotion, as far as going to the merchandise stand and going to buy tickets to the next show and all of that. Who, in your career, have been some of the better ring announcers out there?
I'm going to tell you, bar none, Mauro Ranallo, he was a kid when I was on TV, and he did the best jobs that you could ever think of as an announcer at his young age. And I think the WWE treated him like garbage. JBL treated him like garbage. And that's why he got run out. He didn't want to play their game. He didn't like anybody bullying him. But I don't care. Even today, Michael Cole's good, but to me, Mauro Ranallo still rocks. He was like 17 years old when we were on TV. And the kid could talk a good game.
Now,
am I in trouble for saying that?
Like, you were probably used as a referee as well, like everybody rotating in through the Tomko territory.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of wrestlers became more successful because they refereed early on and were able to learn in the ring the hows and the whys that people were doing things. Did you find that that was the case for you?
Well, I didn't referee a lot. Around here, I mean, I was just kind of like, I started out SCW refereeing until, you know, you got to play the storyline. But up and around and all through Canada, I mean, sometimes when you were on the road, hey, it was your night. You had to ref. And workers make good referees. It's hard to take a person in and say, look here, here's what you got to do and here's what you got to do. That's why a lot of times, a lot of them, like on TV now, they get slapped out of the way because they're lost in the hype and they can't understand when to move, when to do this, or when to do that. I mean, I've refereed quite a few matches, but there wasn't always an angle behind it.
One of the things that a lot of people in our industry end up doing is teaching the new generation. A lot of us go into training the younger crop of professional wrestlers. Did you ever do much as far as training new guys?
We did a lot at my house. And I mean, I had a ring set up out in my front yard. So every weekend, Richie Magnet, Diesel, Scott Ferris, Mad Max, they'd all come to my house and we'd train new guys. Look at Randy the Pimp Taylor. Okay? So he got his start from me and he'll tell you that. And I mean, Randy got over really good until he got hurt. So, I mean, they've all been through pretty much through my house, through my front yard, and training. Back then, it didn't cost you an arm and a leg like it does now.
And you were around enough to know that a lot of times the rings could vary quite a bit in quality and how they were built, the dimensions of it, all of this. Did you have a particular favorite ring that you used?
No, they come 16, 18, 20 foot, you know, and I mean, I hate the ones that are like foot and a half off the ground. Those suck. I mean, it's hard to take a bump out of a small ring like that that has no fall where you can roll or anything. Mine was always like good 16-footer that was two feet off the ground a guy could work with. But, yeah, I just kind of like, you know, 16, 18, I think Tomko had both, you know. So, I mean, I always worked on the ring that was kind of like, makes it easy enough to where you can either hit the ropes, go through the ropes, especially for TV. The TV ring was like a 16-footer. The road one was like 18. You had enough room to run back and forth, and at least somebody gives somebody a hip toss without hitting the other side of the rope.
Now, in the era of wrestling that we are in, it's probably easier now than any time before that I can recall for an independent wrestler to do international tours. There's independent wrestling in Romania now, and England, and France, and in the Middle East, and Singapore, Thailand. All of these places have now gotten independent wrestling, and they use a lot of American talent that comes from the American independent circuit. Did you ever have the wish to do more international traveling besides just going up to Canada?
Well, I mean, I was all over. I was in California, Oregon, Idaho, you know, doing the smaller circuit. Okay. I mean, I had a chance to go to WWF at that time with Michelle Starr, Randy, and all the rest of them. And I just said, look here, I'm not going to be somebody's meat boy. And I said, look, Marty and I have the tag team belt. We're on TV. Why do I want to go down there and get squashed? Not happening. Ask Randy the Pimp Taylor what happened to him when he went. And I told him, don't go. I mean, I passed on the big time. And doesn't matter whether, oh, well, you weren't good enough or whatever. No, I made the smart decision. No, I'm not going to go down there and let them do that to me when we're on TV here every weekend. Do you understand where I'm coming from?
I totally get it, of course.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'm not, I mean, we had a good run with my partner Marty and I, and a lot of good memories. And, you know, like I said, I'm not going to go down there and let the WWF do that to me, and then the people around here see me in Saturday morning, and they see me the night before get pounded down here. Like, no, not happening. And I understand that's how the business is, but when you have the belt, no. Yeah, I mean, I've wrestled with Michelle Starr lots of times, okay? Sure, him and I do not see eye to eye. But a lot of times, that's why I put a picture on the internet. So everybody can see, look here, you were my tag team partner and had the belt. Lump it or like it. And it still sticks in my craw.
Now, a lot of guys will have replica belts made of titles they hold, where sometimes if a promoter retires a belt, they'll give it to whoever was champion. Do you have a lot of the physical title belts to represent titles that you held in your career?
I have both of the belts. Everybody in Canada called them the stop sign belt. I sent Coach Mike Jones, a pitcher. He has it. Yeah, the USA and Canadian Heavyweight Tag Team Championship belts. He has a pitcher.
Yes, it's on the ad for the show, and I shared it on the pictures yesterday, too, for your show. Yes, thank you.
And believe me, Star, there's a pitcher with Star holding the same belt. So I just don't. Him and I, we don't see eye to eye. He badmouthed me when we went to Alaska. So I'm kind of like, no, all right, I'm done with you. I don't badmouth anybody. So. But he knows there's a rub there. So.
All right. Well, at this point, I am going to hand you right back over to the coach with the most come at us from coast to coast. He doesn't mean to brag, but he's got to boast because his favorite part of the day is making a social media post. Coach Mike Jones.
Sign guy. Hey, Sign, what are you... I appreciate you. I love you, brother.
Love you too, Sign, boss, and hopefully I will see you soon.
Okay.
What do you got coming up today, Sign?
I am off today. Tomorrow on Turnbuckle Turmoil, we are going to try to make up our 1-2-3 day with referees from all over the country, and the Sign of the Times should be uploaded later today.
Nice.
Awesome.
Okay. All right. Now, King Dale Hughes, I know that
yes, sir.
Tim Flowers is one of the toughest guys out there in wrestling from ever since, especially
right.
the Northwest, but who have been some of your toughest opponents?
Well, I'm gonna tell you what. The first one that comes to mind, besides Tim Flowers, is Dirty Danny Denton, Rocky Del Cerro, Vern Siebert, a.k.a. King Kong Bundy Jr.
Nice. And then, hey, have you been invited to any of these conventions or get-togethers? I see they had one up in Canada recently. And then, of course, the Cauliflower Alley is August 19th through the 21st in Vegas.
Well, I don't get invited to Canada because Star and I don't get along. So, and it's his promotion, so it's his loss, not mine. So I know Pimp goes every year, but so whatever feather crawled up Star's butt, then that's up to him. So, and I hope he hears this. So I just kind of like, I wouldn't mind going to Cauliflower Alley. Couple of years I've had a few medical problems, but I have them all taken care of now, so I'm 85% of where I should be. So that's kind of where I'm at the moment.
Okay, nice. It's good to hear that you're recovering. And then man, I'm sure hoping we can get something going in Washington, a convention going. It was nice when
Dean Silverstein. I know. That'd be so cool. Have something at the Tacoma Dome or something.
Yes, it was nice when Dean was around. He was keeping the fire going, but
yeah,
it's been a few years now. My goodness. Okay,
and
King,
I mean,
go ahead. No, I interrupted
no,
you.
No, it's okay. I talked to Kevin Solomon about once a month. Man. He's on my phone. I have his personal cell phone number, you know, and his kid, Andrew. You know, I talk to them, too. So we stay in touch.
Nice.
And it would be fun to have an event here in Washington State and say,
yes,
hey,
definitely.
We need everybody to come here.
Definitely.
And, I mean, I'm still looking for Luscious Johnny Graham.
Oh,
and
I know.
Debaki knows him. Yeah.
Yeah, he moved to Philadelphia a few years back. My goodness. Or Pennsylvania,
wow.
Yes. It'd be nice to see him again, yes.
Wrestled
okay.
with him when we were on the tour with Slaughters and DeBeer.
I always enjoyed those matches, yes.
Yeah.
Okay, Keith.
So,
what are your suggestions for people wanting to get into the business?
Well, I think, like, the first one, because the wrestling business changed so much, and, I mean, they don't, you know, just be of a medium build. Don't be some little scrawny shit that's 140 pounds. It just doesn't look good when you go out and wrestle somebody that's 220. I mean, think about it. You got to put some meat on your bones. That don't mean you got to be 200 pounds, but put some meat on your bones. And granted, we all get it. It's all high-flying and all kinds of other garbage now. It's like the basics first before you jump off the pier. Because if you don't, you're going to get hurt.
Yes, for sure.
How long has it been since you've seen an arm drag in the
goodness,
WWE?
I know.
Yeah.
Geez.
You know, like,
yeah.
Hey, like, hello? And I mean,
yeah, geez.
Yeah. You know, I remember back in the day, a DDT or a pile driver was a finisher. Like, no,
yes.
Wait a minute here. Yeah, no. Learn the
wow.
basics first. I mean, that's the main thing.
What schools would you like to suggest for people?
Well, I mean, you know, I mean, I know there's a bunch back east. And, I mean, I know, I'm not for sure if, I hate to say it, because since Buddy passed, I don't know if they still have a school going up there, because all the guys I knew back then, Richie Magnet's gone, Buddy's gone, Ole Olson's gone, and it's kind of like there's not really a bunch of people here in the Pacific Northwest to carry on that tradition. I mean, really,
The only one that I really know is Nick Wayne, but he's so young. He's still learning.
Definitely.
So I don't know if anybody else has picked up, you know, I mean, it's a shame. Ole's gone. And I mean, man, they're all gone. I mean,
yes.
Flowers and Fuzzy Sayers, they're still here. And Neil Drummond's still here. But that's all up in Canada. There really is nothing here anymore for any kind of a wrestling school. And
okay,
I wish there was, that I know of. All right, this next segment is called Favorites. I'm sure the fans would like to know what your favorite coffee to drink is if you drink coffee.
Well, I drink coffee.
And it's normally just a normal roast coffee that I make in the Keurig. Okay, and then what in your lifetime, what have been your favorite concerts that you've seen?
Well, Merle Haggard, K.T. Osland, the Eagles. Yeah, I mean, I'm not a big concert fan, but that's
those
about
are legends
my best
right
one.
There. Nice. Yes, I got to work for Merle Haggard one show at the Emerald Queen. Not only is he great and such in a Hall of Famer, he's funny and he's cool. He was out there. A lot of people, bands that come to like the Emerald Queen, for example, or even the Tacoma Dome, they'll be going, Seattle! And the fans flip them off and boo. But Merle one-upped him. He was out there at Emerald Queen and he yelled, Fife! I was like, nice.
Yeah.
He's the only one saying Fife. He knows where he's at.
Yeah. Exactly. You know,
okay,
I mean, it's one of those. Go ahead. Sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry. I interrupted you again.
No, you didn't. You're good. You're good.
Okay.
The days of the king is over, so we're good.
Okay. In your lifetime, what have been your favorite sports teams?
Well, I would have to say, and this is from back in the day when I was growing up, Joe Montana and the 49ers. And I'm like, yeah, I know, everybody's going to hate me. You know, how early. But, like, my favorite thing is TFB, and I'm pretty sure you can figure out what that means. So, and I mean, and I do love the Seahawks. Okay, and I mean, they were coming on when Kurt Warner was playing for him, the running back, and then he got hurt. But Seattle's still my home favorite team. But players,
nice.
I got to go back to the Niner days.
Okay, nice. All right, we got about another 10 minutes or so here. But
okay.
I want to give you one of our segments called Word Association. I'll list the wrestler. And then you tell us the first thing that comes to mind or whatever it takes to describe them.
Okay.
Okay, Taskmaster Kevin Sullivan.
Yes. I know him very well. Very good personal friend of mine.
Okay.
So what am I supposed to guess?
No, just what your first impression of them is and what you think about them, yes.
Kevin Sullivan, awesome. Doesn't get any better. The man with the plan.
Another guy that you gave a good shout out to earlier, Jonathan Sayers.
Best manager in the entire world. I don't care, bar none. The man could talk more crap than you could even use a roll of toilet paper with.
Nice. Okay, Buddy Wayne.
Buddy Wayne. My personal dear friend, my road partner for more than 2 years, I miss him dearly, and I wish him the best, and I know he's up there looking down on us. And you're probably going, he is the one that gave me my name, Dale Houston.
Awesome.
So now
okay.
That's out. Yeah.
And then Al Tomko.
You know, everybody has their opinions about Al Tomko, but you know what? He never treated me bad and
never did not pay me.
Sweet, okay.
He always treated me good. What about bad blood?
Okay. Can we just pass on that?
Sure. Okay, DiBiase.
Dave DiBiase, another great friend. A lot of matches. I mean, and we go way back to the 90s. He's an excellent person, excellent worker. They don't get any better than him. And he has an awesome gimmick.
For sure. Okay. What about J.R. Bundy?
Mike Phelps, it's bad that he's gone. He's passed. He was one of the guys I had, besides him and Flowers, even though you were out when you had to wrestle the guy, he would never squash you on TV. He always gave you something. And
that's always cool.
The
yes.
utmost respect. Yeah, he wouldn't just
Definitely.
Go do that to you.
Yes, for sure. Okay, what about Sam Sims?
Sam Sims, oh, my God. You know what? He's another great mind in the independent circuit. I'm glad he's doing good in the beer market stuff that he's doing. But, yeah, when he'd come out with DiBiase, I mean, they played the role just like it should be. Awesome individual.
For sure, yes. What about wonderful Zach Winters?
You know what? Him and his other partner, they were awesome. We dropped the titles to him that night in Suquamish because I made him do it. And we turned
right.
we turned the company upside down. And I said, pick me up and body slam me. I had to hug him to make him pin me.
Oh, goodness, yeah.
And we give him the titles.
Sweet, okay. What about Sunny Days?
Sunny Days? Awesome female worker. I don't know why the WWE hasn't picked her up yet. That girl can work out. She can do more than 80% of the women that they have working now. She
Definitely,
may be
yes.
smaller, but that girl there, she got everything in one sock.
For sure.
So,
okay. What about Greg Gagne?
Oh, my God, now you're talking old school. Let's just say one of the professors of the wrestling business. How's that?
Definitely. Okay, what about Mary Jane Payne?
You know what? Mary Jane's good, too. Okay, she's really good. And, I mean, she's no slouch. If she stays
yes,
with
for
it,
sure.
she'd be
yeah,
very
yeah,
good.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, and I got two more names here. Ian Bear, great big size individual and has a great wrestling mind, but he's kind of like he just needs, if he wants to go farther in the wrestling business, he needs to stay committed to it. And it's hard when you got a wife and you got kids. Granted, I understand that.
Yeah. Yes, for sure.
Good
and
guy.
Then the last name, Aaron Bolo.
You know what? Aaron's a great guy, and it's too bad that he got hurt. I mean, I
Definitely.
Know his shoulders and stuff are messed up, and I didn't like what the WWE did to him when he went over to Seattle and wrestled.
Yeah, Drew McIntyre for 22 seconds.
Yeah, and I'm going like, that was bullshit. Sorry, I didn't mean to cuss. You probably got to bleep that.
No, we're PG-13. It's
so,
all good. Thank
I mean,
you.
And here's the thing about that, where they just went out there and annihilated him and proved him as a Washington State champ. Okay? So now
yeah.
you know why I didn't go to California with Star and Pimp and all the rest of that, because that's what happens. That's
yes,
why I
that
didn't
definitely
go.
Did suck, yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I know.
And then what do you got
okay.
coming up, brother? What do you got coming up
well,
here? I know that you're still retired, but
yeah. I mean, I don't mind showing up to wrestling show every now and then. And I mean, yeah, it's all good. I can still get around, but I just don't like like trying to jump in there and do something? Yeah, yeah. I pretty much think those days are over.
Yeah, same.
I mean,
here.
I don't mind refereeing. But yeah,
okay,
I was like,
nice.
First picking me up and slamming me upside down. I think we got a problem. Because you probably get a small cradle and get rolled up and go 1, 2, 3. Kill him.
Yeah, yes, for
sure. That's how that would happen.
Now, hey, do you want to give any shout-outs for anybody who helped you with your career along the way or somebody that we haven't mentioned so far?
I'm just saying. I mean, I've had a good time. I've had a good life. I mean, I love Debashi. I love Buddy Wayne. I love all them guys from Canada, every one of them. And even Moretti, you know, even though he likes to spit in the ring with the dog collar. I love it. And, I mean, those guys helped me to mature into what I became.
Nice. Okay.
And
thank
even
you.
Even though
appreciate
you're a little skee ziff, but we're okay.
Okay. Hey, Simon.
Party talk.
Before we wrap it up, do you have any more questions for the king?
Who, me? Oh,
Sign guy.
What was the question?
I said, before we wrap it up, do you have any more questions for the king?
I will just remind the king that I managed Zach Winters when he dropped those tag titles, so he actually also sort of dropped them to me. I'd just like to point that out for the record.
Yeah, well, you're kind of out in left field, sign guy, but we're okay. And
all
I
right,
still
king.
Love you.
I still love you, too, even though you were on the team that beat me to give me my loser leaves town loss in that six-man tag. I forgive you.
That's okay. We're all good with that.
Man King, we thank you so much.
And I love you, and I miss you.
Miss you, too, brother. We'll
see
each other at some point soon, hopefully.
We will. Man, we appreciate your time, brother, and your interview. I wish you all the luck in the world. If you have anything else you'd like to plug or promote, or you can tell people also how to get a hold of you on social media, please.
Well, I mean, it's like, I'm on Facebook. That's about all I know. So,
okay.
Yeah, I'm just kind of like, I mean, you don't have to just look up my normal name, Dale Avery. So how's that? Now everybody knows they can look up Dale Avery. Ta-da. Or look up Dale Houston on YouTube. How's that?
Yeah,
and you can
definitely see
all the jobs I had to do on TV.
You're a champion in my heart, brother. We appreciate you so much. Thanks again.
Oh dude, you're the best, man.
Thank you,
all
King.
Right. I love you all, man.
We love you too, brother. Have a good one.
All righty. You too.
All right. There he is, King Dale Houston. Thank you so much, everyone, for listening and for your time. And thank you, Sign Guy. What do you got coming up, Sign Guy? Tell everybody what do you got coming up, how to get a hold of you.
Well, you can find me on the Book of Faces, the Twitter, the Gram, Chicken Bob, also on all those social medias. I will be on Turnbuckle tomorrow for 1, 2, 3 today. Hopefully we get it right this time. No technical difficulties. And then next week on Friday on the show, we have SP8. I will be 1 week from today at Vaughn, Washington for Northwest Pro. On the 30th, I will be at CPW Presents Theatrical Wrestling in Linwood, Washington. April 6th, apparently I will be back at Rogue Wrestling Attractions in Ocean Shores. And on the 21st of April, I will be at the arena in Jeffersonville for Paul Cade number 5.
Awesome. Yeah. Yes, and there's
fine,
been some
stuff around for me.
Okay, yeah, definitely. And then there's been some news in the Cincinnati Reds organization, some good, some bad. The bad is Nobel Marte was suspended for 80 games for performance-enhancing drugs. The Mariners got rid of him right in time, I guess.
Right before he got popped.
And then the other good news is Joey Votto finally got signed to his hometown, Toronto, it looks like.
non-roster deal, but hopefully he'll make it.
Definitely. All right.
He's
looked at
Larry Walker's records. He's not too far off from those.
Yes, Larry had a great career also. All right, you guys can check me out.
He did, but his records are in jeopardy, Coach.
I hope so, yes. So I can be checked out at Coach Mike Jones, the coach with the most, Coach Mike Jones on Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, and Twitter. Don't forget to check out the Real School Army and the NGW Green Room from hundreds of interviews from celebrities all over the world. And every Saturday at noon Pacific at the Coach Mike Jones Show podcast, episode 82, next Saturday, the 16th, I have Matt Sigmund on. And on the 23rd of March, I have Rudy Boy Gonzalez. And at the end of the month, I got Greg Anthony. So I'm excited for all that. He's the AIWF champion. And then I'm looking to get some people booked for April soon. Hopefully I can get Missy Hyde on here. I'm in talks right now about that. And also you can check me out every Sunday at 1 o'clock Pacific on the Turnbuckle Turmoil with Sign Guy and the rest of the crew. Thank everybody for listening, for your support and feedback. We love you so much and appreciate it. Thanks again. Here's the Never Were with Coach Mike Jones Show walk-on song.
That's right, everybody. You know who it is. Coach Mike Jones on the coach with the most. Coming at you hard from coast to coast. I don't want to boast, but now I got to roast you in my social media posts. You double dose, a diagnose. You're feeling tired, life inspired, now you're a ghost. I'll be your host, so won't you raise a toast to the coach with the most, Coach Mike Jones. Thank you.